shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you've joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in. Luke and Heather Fleener are the parents of two beautiful girls and dear friends. They are two of the wisest and most generous voices we know. We've had this interview in mind for quite some time, and we are thrilled to share it with you today. Enjoy this time full of practical wisdom, loads of great humor, and amazing takeaways with our friends Luke and Heather. How long have we waited for this conversation?
Oh, when we first started talking about Parents in the Trenches, y'all were immediately who we talked about.
Yes.
That we wanted the two of you on here.
Was it that obvious that we were in the trenches?
Yes.
We just discussed before we hit record that we are making so many people jealous right now because we share so many folks who love the two of you and are envious that we would get to camp out in this room with you for this conversation and this time. So to start out, will you just tell us a little bit about your sweet family?
Go for it.
Yeah, there's four of us.
And a dog.
And a dog. I'm constantly reminded about having a dog. Minnie said it would never happen. It happened. I'm Luke Fleener, and this is my wife, Heather.
Hello.
And we have Annabelle, a fifth grader, and Ivy, a third grader, two girls.
And amazing, precious girls.
They really are. And we have a dog named Penny that Heather would love to tell you about.
Oh.
She's Penny's favorite person.
I have never been loved like this dog loves me. I told Sissy. We've had her for about a year and a half and I feel very grateful. We got to hang with Lucy one weekend and it won us all over. And it was so sweet. She's been a great gift to our family. And Luke has been just won over by her, I think.
I think the verdict might come out right now.
Yeah. Penny's a good dog for us because I'm not allergic to her.
Yeah.
That is good. Yes. She's a Havanese. Yeah.
She's a Havanese.
Yes.
And when I found out, I was like, yeah, that sounds like the dog that I want because I ain't Havanese in my house.
But have you heard that before?
Turns out that we are having that dog.
Oh, no, that was really good.
You all. And back up a step to when this family started. When did the two of you meet? I don't know that story. I know where you met, but I don't know exactly when you met.
We met in Nashville. I moved back from after Samford and was in graduate school, and he was finishing up at Lipscomb, and we met through some friends. We played tennis on our first date. We didn't really know it was a date. We just got invited to play tennis. And
she got tricked into playing tennis. 100% knew it was a date. Yeah, she 100% did not know it was a date based on what she wore.
I did not know it was a date. I just thought I was playing tennis. So I had kind of a wonky ponytail and was 20 minutes late. And I didn't know. But he was cute and he had a great serve. And we won. And our friend said, whoever wins should go get ice cream afterwards. So
not
it was
like
all
we should
a
all
setup.
Go together.
Right,
yeah, that's
right.
So funny.
It was sweet. We had a good time.
I bet you don't know, too. I just learned this week that they had a house. They had a third roommate for a minute. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know this.
Our friend Annie lived with us when she moved back here from Scotland.
Annie F. Downs.
No,
we
I didn't
had the
know
best
that.
Time. She lived with us, and then our other friend Adam lived with us all at the same time, and it was we had the best time.
It was a true sitcom.
Yeah, it did feel
it
like
was.
A sitcom.
Well,
they're both
you're
sevens.
With
I mean,
Downs,
it was
yeah.
great.
I bet. It was so good.
We love her.
Well, will y'all talk for a little bit about what you're both doing work-wise? You with all your creativity and entrepreneurial spirit. And with you, and we know, because we got to work with you for a minute, about what you do, more than a minute. Talk about your counseling career, what made you make the decision to stay home, and
yes,
all the things you're dreaming about.
Sweet. You go first. Yours is more concrete.
I work as a consultant to help any company making software with design and strategy. So whoever will have me, for however long they'll have me, we work together on making their digital products really great. Have kind of a design background, but moved towards technology over the years because there's a lot of technology out there.
Yes. Luke, I mean, really, that is fascinating to me. And what you just said could be like, I have a food truck on Mars.
It might be easier.
There is no part of me that feels like I could wrap my brain around what you do. It's just amazing. I'm so grateful.
It is really fun. And I didn't know that I'd be doing this. It's not like I was in college 15 years ago thinking, yeah, I'll spend every day kind of just working on a little bit of software, trying to make it a little bit better for those who use it. But it's funny. It really is kind of it's about an experience that someone's having. You're trying to make it better for them. Mm-hmm. And software is one way to do that for people.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's amazing.
It's fun. You get to work with a lot of fun clients who do a lot of fun stuff.
Mm. I bet.
We also love that he sets his own schedule. So it is fun. He gets to pick up the girls from school sometimes and take trips with us. So it's really sweet. He's worked hard. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life, but I have a background in counseling. My master's is in marriage and family therapy. And I got to work at this lovely place called Daystar for maybe 6 years.
I was thinking seven or eight.
Maybe seven?
I don't know.
I should do math.
Well, we are always wanting to add to the years. But
oh, man. Yeah. I love it here. Mm. And it was so sweet. And when I got pregnant with our oldest, I stayed home with her. And then about a year and a half later, had our next one. And then I did some part-time work that wasn't counseling, helping some friends run their family foundation. And Daystar got to be one of our people that we supported. So that was fun to stay connected in that way. And then I started a private practice and did that for a few years. And then now I'm staying home. And I'm almost ready to work again. I feel like I'm always asking you, what should I do next, Sissy? I love working. I like staying home. There's great parts about all of it. Mm. Counseling is really meaningful to me. And I believe in it. And it is what you guys do. It's just really holy and challenging. And it's hard to do. So thank you.
Wow. Yeah, I told you this the other night, but you are one of those people that brings so much light and beauty and goodness to the world, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I feel excited about any space that you're in and that I get to interact with you in. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Very
I'll
sweet.
Be excited to see what's next too.
Thanks.
We are excited to jump in to talking more about parenting with the two of you. And even the unique journey of parenting girls. And so we talk a lot on this podcast about helping kids name and navigate emotions, helping them build an emotional vocabulary and also have coping skills on board. And we know that girls can have a lot of emotion and can lean into the strong ability often to articulate those things, but struggle some in getting to the coping skills and navigating those. So just would love to hear you all talk about what you have learned in that space and anything you would say you've seen that's helpful in terms of helping girls build both, not just one.
I love that question.
Well, Heather carries the lion's share of that in our family because she's so good at it. But when I started getting counseling, you know, 15 years ago when I met Heather and found out what counseling is, the thing that I immediately had to work on was feel what you feel when you feel it. And I had just kind of not done that very much in my life. I kind of put it to the side, whatever I was feeling, tried to make sure everything was cool in the situation I was in. But in, I mean, literally your feelings chart that sits in our kitchen, was something that I saw for the first time, you know, 15 years ago and, or however long it was. And I thought, wow, this is really helpful. I didn't know, first of all, there's this many feelings, but when I look at them, I go, oh yeah, I've had that one. Yeah. I've had that one. But in taking that and letting the girls kind of pick and see what it is that they feel, it gives them that vocabulary and makes it okay. If you have a vocabulary around feelings, which Heather certainly does, and she shares that with our girls all the time, now they can take that on and they don't have to feel like it's weird to have any of those feelings because they've heard of them before and it's not foreign. It's something that they're like, oh, I was expecting to feel this one day.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I love the question because I do think that girls can more naturally express than my sweet husband, and who's just doing great now. It has felt like a fun puzzle for me to give them a toolbox before they leave with a lot of options in it and understanding themselves of, you know, this is how I'm kind of wired and here are some things that help me. But hopefully over the years when they're in our house, they'll try a lot of different things over different years. I feel like for me as a person, some things help until they stop helping and then I need new ones. So we try to model talking about it. You know, he'll say, I don't even know if he does this consciously, but he'll say, I'm kind of stressed for my last meeting. I'm going to go shoot some basketball and, you know, move my body around. And I will say, I am feeling sad. I think I need a cozy bath. We do these baths with called cozy baths where there's a projector in the sky and light a candle and maybe a little snack or something.
Oh, you know, just, that sounds nice.
Just a bowl of chips right there beside the bathtub. And so I just think, hopefully thinking, this isn't necessarily something to be solved, but it is something to be tended to with compassion. And what do I need in this moment? I just believe that that's a gift to the world for grownups to be able to figure out, this is what's going on in me and here's what I need next. So often with my youngest, it involves moving her body. And sometimes for my older one too, but she's just, my youngest is just deeply physical in the world. She just carries things around in her body. So she needs to go and do things. And my oldest is a little more cerebral and loves to write it out or talk it out. So,
yeah. And her oldest learned that he needs to play. And she has, she helped me realize that the reason I'm trying to go play all the time is that that is what helps me deal with what I'm feeling.
Yeah, he gets very grumpy if he doesn't go play some things.
Yeah,
you know, a couple times a week. So
makes sense. Yeah,
it made that okay as a way to cope, so that now I know to tell our youngest, "Hey, you should go jump on the trampoline."
Yeah, makes a difference for me. It will for you.
Sissy, have I told you that Connie called me a pan snob recently?
Oh, no.
She's not wrong. I am so attached to our green pan pans that I refuse to use any of the old ones anymore.
I get it. They are beautiful products, and my food never sticks anymore.
If you listen to this podcast, you've heard us talk all about green pan before. Just in time for the holidays, green pan launched their new slow cookers, the same beautiful cookware you know and love, can now create family-sized meals with the press of a button.
The slow cooker is amazing. I just made another soup in it the other day.
Connie loves that the slow cooker is beautiful on the counter.
Me too.
I know. It's available in 8 colors, so there's definitely one that will complement your kitchen.
Which color did y'all get?
The cloud white. What about you?
Me too. I loved it.
It's incredible.
And I love the in-pot browning. There's no more browning on your stove and then adding it to your slow cooker. With GreenPan, their slow cooker does it all at once.
And with GreenPan, cleanup is so easy.
GreenPan's cookware are also free of PFAS, PFOA, lead, and cadmium. Don't know what most of that means, but all you need to know is that your current cookware might be coated with forever chemicals, but green pans are free of all forever chemicals.
Not sure which cookware is right for you? Green Pan has a quiz that guides you to the right choice based on your experience level, mine is amateur, how often you cook, and what kind of stovetop you have.
Green Pan also owns their own factory. So while other companies create cheap products with cheap materials because, you guessed it, it's cheaper, Green Pan's products live up to their standards. That's why they won the 2023 Good Housekeeping Sustainable Innovation Award.
And they've got a 60-day return policy, so you have plenty of time to make sure Green Pan is right for you.
So toss those plastic pans and upgrade your cookware this holiday season with Green Pan. Head to greenpan.us. and use promo code RBG, and you'll receive 30% off your entire order, plus free shipping on orders over $99.
That's right, 30% off. So head to greenpan.us and make sure you use our promo code RBG, or they won't know we sent you.
I love that statement. It doesn't need to be solved. It needs to be tended to with great compassion. Is that what you said?
I don't remember.
That's what you said. You're being like, I said it. You said it. So good. Oh, I love that.
Well, they also have great counselors here, which helps just somebody else asking them to talk about it in a different way or work through it.
Well, they're very different. I mean, y'all are already kind of alluding to that. And it's funny, I get to know him a little bit, which is so sweet. And I was thinking about Annabelle feels like she very much wants you to hear her. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I think about sitting and having a conversation with her at Hopetown or wherever, I mean, I feel like she is so earnest and very serious about what she's feeling. And then it feels like as soon as you say, oh, I bet that was really hard, or wow, what was that like for you? And she gets to talk about it for a minute longer, then she kind of goes, okay, and then goes on with whatever it is.
Totally,
but she really wants you to sit with her and hear it in that moment, which is funny that Ivy's needing to move and doesn't necessarily need to talk about it as much or as long. And I think really probably you all would be two of the parents who would be most aware of that out of everybody I know of. Mm-hmm. What do they need that's differently? How do I help be aware of that, access that? We all talk a little bit about what that's like for you, studying them, learning.
Yeah, I think what's helpful is they get to watch each other do that, because there are times where it's time for Annabelle to stop talking about it and it's time for her to go move her body.
Yes.
And there's times where Ivy needs to stop moving her body and start thinking and like accessing what it is inside of her brain to actually get some of it out of her brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their so good. Strengths can kind of inform each other. It is. I've been trying to ask them lately, you know, what would you like to do with me? Or what feels like love to you? Just to see what they say. It was an experiment. I just didn't, because they were little for a while. And they, I don't know, I did sometimes. But, and Ivy said,
imagine one of my parents asking me that question. Oh, what a gift.
Man, well, it was so cute. Ivy, when I asked her, I said, what feels like love from me to you? And what would you like for me to do more of or less of? And she got real still and closed her eyes. And she said, I want you to scratch my back for 9 minutes every night. And I was like, 9?
Wow.
9 is so specific. It's so many minutes.
Funny enough, this is exactly what Heather told me when I asked her that.
But the like physical, you know, yes. she just like wanted me near wanted and didn't uh-huh. want to rush the bedtime routine. Uh-huh. She struggled mm. sometimes at bedtime mm. and it was sweet. So I'm trying to ask and listen, but also I was a little, I mean, it'll be fine.
Not it'll be fine.
It's sweet.
And what did Annabelle want differently?
She loves these walks in the mm. winter where we winter. Put on all of our scarves and hats, and she has one AirPod. We started doing it during the pandemic. She has one AirPod and I have the other, and we go on a walk. And now we have Penny, so we can walk Penny. But when all, especially when all the Christmas lights are up, and we will listen mm. to a song or two or three together, and we don't really even talk. We just, or sometimes she'll talk and I'll listen. But she said, I want to start doing our winter walks again now that it's cold. Mm. So that's sweet.
Sweet.
So beautiful. I thought, I can do those two things. So
yes.
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes,
but
it's different.
It's different, yeah. Yes. So I think, you know, Ivy's is usually more active and a mm-hmm. little bit more involving other people. She's just more extroverted. Mm-hmm. And Annabelle's is usually a little bit quieter, a little more one-on-one, mm-hmm. some space. She just needs a little bit of downtime at the end of the day to be alone or sing in her room or mm-hmm. you know, do sweet things. So we're
something
learning.
That Heather does a really good job of is keeping a pulse on who's regulated, mm-hmm. like who's in their zone for doing things well and who's maybe over-tapped. And we try to only ask them hard things when we know they're in the zone to respond to that in a way that we might want them to respond to it. Mm. Because you get to a point with younger kids sometimes where you're just like, hey, it kind of doesn't matter what we ask them right now. Yes. They're not, they can't do it.
Right.
Which is, you know, the way I think we feel a lot too. Mm-hmm. but just being able to notice that and giving them the ability to be overtapped and just acknowledging it. Because you can't really tell them they're overtapped. They don't agree. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Ivy's never tired. She's mm-hmm. never cold. She's never not hungry. You know, mm-hmm. so, but just kind of watching and being aware of when they're ready to do the thing that it is that you might want them to engage with.
Mm. That's so smart.
Mm. I love that.
Because yeah. you're not going to get anywhere
when they're right.
able to do it. Yeah. When they're in need
too
of a cozy
tired.
Bath. Right.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Mm.
We are asked often about sibling relationships, and your two seem to have a really special relationship. And I know there are tougher days, but would love to ask you both just what have you done to nurture or strengthen that sibling relationship? And then what have you found that helps on the tougher days?
Y'all tell me if you think this is manipulative. I try to tell them stories about how they have been together, like their love for each other when they were little mm. and just kind of family stories about, I tell them about me and my siblings and how we had conflict and, but also how we're really close friends. And I think that's beautiful. Well,
and
I don't
true.
Want to be like hand waving, like everything's going to be fine all the time. Cause I don't believe, you know, I do believe siblings are a great place to practice being yes. in relationships, and that yeah. involves conflict and yes. learning a lot of things. You know, they practice having boundaries with each other, practice saying, hey, quit with each other. Mm. But I am trying to just remind them of the fact that they are lucky to have each other, and that, I don't know, it's worthy work to hang in there. Mm. So,
and you want to make space at your house for them to do the things that you know they would like to do together. Mm. So we got a trampoline.
Mm.
And I didn't really want a trampoline.
Or
in
a dog.
Backyard.
Bless your heart.
Poor Luke.
Or a dog, yeah.
He's
but
okay.
These are the things you do, you know, when you want to be family together mm. and you want the kids to, you know, they spend a lot of time on the trampoline, just bouncing and talking and laughing and mm. having their neighbors over. And I don't know, it's just, you want to be intentional about the spaces you create for them to be together. And then on the flip side, the spaces that they can have to be apart.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it takes time apart to want to be together. And our two do that some too.
Yeah.
we both have very specific memories of conflict with our siblings. And I think it helps set our expectations. So when they argue, we're not like, what is wrong? Our kids are arguing. We're like, there it is. That is part of it. And we will practice making repairs with each other and, you know, deal with the feelings of that. But y'all, my sister and I parent trapped each other's rooms, like out of anger. Like I took all of the clothes out of her drawers and spread them in the woods. And she put honey and flour on my bed. And I mean, we just, you know, and we love each other so dearly, but we were frustrated with each other and we're messing with each other. So, and we were, you know, pretty kind overall. Yes. So it just helps me to think like, they don't do that.
Right. Yeah.
So, anyway.
And the brilliant thing about what Heather does by reminding them that they're friends is, you know, a lot of people will ask siblings right off, like, do y'all get along? There's like this momentum to like act like you probably like can't stand each other and like call it out. And I don't know, the reverse, you have to push back against that, that narrative that people can put on siblings.
Yes. Mm. How do y'all move them towards repair and towards expressing feelings?
We have tried to say, to validate feelings first and say, it makes sense that you're mad. Take the time that you need to be mad. Let me know if you need anything. And when that has passed and you feel ready, I'd love for you to talk to your sister and try to make it right. And if you need my support, you know, and so I'll find little notes that they write back and forth to each other. It's sweet that say, I love you. I'm sorry I got angry or that I hit you or whatever. And They have done that on their own lately, and it's been so beautiful to watch.
As they've gotten older, we've let some things go longer than we would have 3 or 4 years ago going, let's see if they can resolve this one on their own.
And y'all are seeing it.
Because,
That's great.
Because the tendency is to just want to, like, stop the yelling or stop the whining.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially the whining.
Yes.
We try to talk about how it is good for us to forgive, you know, and to not hang on to those feelings, and good to be forgiven and just to say all that out loud. So we don't all do it perfectly, but it's good practice over time that I hope will yield some relational health. I don't know.
Well, thinking about girls and friendships, I mean, one of the things that I have felt in the last 2 years is that I've never seen girls as mean to each other as I'm seeing more recently. And I have watched both of your girls in friendships. And what would you say that you do to encourage the making, keeping of friendships, working through conflict with friends? Do y'all have things you've shared with them or taught them along the way?
We have loved y'all's language of we'd say pickleball because that's what we play, but back and forth of just like reciprocating, that has been really helpful. Of, you know, they ask you to do something or asking questions, just being an active participant. And
will you explain that? Because I don't know that we've said that on the podcast forever.
Yeah. Just that a relationship or a friendship takes two people, and that it is good to take turns and to ask. If someone asks you a question, ask them one back. Or if someone asks you to do something, and I have to remember it for myself because it's kind of easy to take sometimes if you find someone that gives or to give if you're the giver. And so we talk about taking turns, and being a good friend means being an active participant.
We also talk a lot about inviting people into things, not like trapping people into things. So if you want your sister to do something with you, you can say, would you like to? Like, I mean, you can literally invite them in a kind way instead of saying like, let's go jump on the trampoline right now. You know,
that's great.
Hey, would you like to
bossy
go jump on the
little girls
like,
need a lot of that.
That's good.
You can ask a question and then they get to decide what is right for them. And if they say no, you honor their no and say, okay, I'll ask her another time. You know, just.
Yeah. Or if you ask enough and you realize that they say no every time, all right. Stop barking up that tree.
Yeah. Yes, that's so good. Yeah.
Okay, we're talking in this season about the ages and stages of development, and would love to ask you both, what's been your favorite stage so far and why?
Unequivocally, right now. The ability to rationalize and reason goes a long way with me. And it's way easier to talk to them about what's going on and make plans. And they're funny. Like, they make jokes. You know, there's just the back and forth is a lot better for me right now as someone who in the younger stages has had a little trouble with, you know, imagination and like just the corralling stages of we've got kids crawling around everywhere. We're just trying to play defense all the time. Mm-hmm. This has been my favorite stage.
I understand. I feel like I'm living out what people told me about how they would be good and hard about every phase. I feel like I can think back and remember the good and the hard. But I like this one too. I think I also really like five. I think five is fun, or, you know, four or five when they're just verbal and they're like, I don't know, it's so cute. Mm-hmm. But I'm really enjoying right now. Mm-hmm. It's very fun to know them and talk to them and
their little people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I struggled a little bit with babies, and I love other people's, and I love my babies. I did, but it was a little bit lonely to me. I like conversation, and I like, so that I enjoy.
Babies are relentless.
They are relentless.
They are.
Yes.
Is,
they don't care about you at all.
That sounds terrible.
What has met? Well, maybe that's the answer to our question. I was going to say, what's been particularly challenging? Babies.
Babies and toddlers. Yeah. And I hear it's coming for us a little bit. Some more bumps, but that'll be okay.
Yeah.
We'll be right here.
Yeah. They seem to still to really like us right now, which is fun. Yes. And we get glimpses every once in a while of like, it's like not a full eye roll, but it's like, it's like they're getting the momentum going. And at some point that Ferris wheel is going to get to the top and it's going to make a full
eyes roll. All full the way roll. In
yeah.
Luke, your humor will be so good in that season because I think part of where, not that you will, but I think part of where we struggle as women sometimes is we get so intense back. And I think you will have.
No one's ever accused me of that.
Well, I think it will be a real gift to those girls and to Heather that you'll be able to diffuse.
I agree. We have for some years done this like hand, like stack it up thing at the beginning of the day. And I had envisioned it being very sweet and meaningful, all of it. And this,
like stacking your hands on top
like
of each other.
Yeah, like how you do at the end of a ball game. I don't know why.
I love it.
But, and I will say, be kind. And Ivy says, be brave. And Annabelle says, be yourself. And then Luke gets to say whatever he wants. And I thought, I said, just fill it in, you know, and I thought he would say like, I don't know, something deep, but he just says ridiculous things every time. He says, go cats, because he loves the cats. Or he says, let's go get a taco. Or, I mean, he just says, and it's perfect over, you know, it drove me crazy for like a month. And now I'm like, oh, sweet. It's better to have a little bit of levity.
Yes. So it's, what is it usually? Be?
Be kind.
Uh-huh.
Be brave.
Uh-huh.
Be yourself. Aww. Go cats. <That's> or whatever.
So good.
I mean, he said some hilarious things.
Try to keep it topical.
Oh, y'all.
And everyone listening knows now why we have been counting down to this episode. Man, you two, you are just delights. Oh.
David, Christmas is around the corner and I'm already doing some shopping.
I haven't given you my wish list yet.
I am not talking about you. I'm talking about my nephews.
Oh, okay. But I'll still get you my wish list in the next week or two.
One of my favorite gifts to give the boys is KiwiCo products. Unwrap inspiration with super fun science, technology, and art projects for kids with KiwiCo. With 9 different subscription options for different ages and subjects, there's something for every kid.
And grown up, I'm planning to put KiwiCo on my wish list.
Good to know. When you give KiwiCo, it's so much more than a box of toys. It's the gift of discovery through hands-on experiences, giving kids the tools to learn about topics that they love, from dinosaurs to rocket ships.
I'd love a rocket ship.
Maybe you'll get one.
I just built a wooden ukulele. You have a guitar, and I was thinking,
we could add a little music to the podcast.
Let's stick to parenting and taco talk.
KiwiCo crates are fun and stress-free, so you can enjoy quality time with your kids tackling projects together.
Tested and approved by kids. No crate leaves without approval from their toughest critics, kids.
A box of Whoa Awesome delivered monthly. The day the KiwiCo box arrives will be your kid's favorite day of the month.
Henry gets so excited when he comes to my house for a bunking party and finds a KiwiCo box.
Discover hands-on fun with KiwiCo.
Get your first month free on any crate line at kiwico.com/RBG.
That's your first month free at kiwico.com/RBG.
We would love to ask you, what's the best parenting advice you've been given?
You want me to go?
Yeah.
There's no shortage of parenting advice out there, is there?
It is, for sure. And everybody disagrees with each other.
Yeah. We had a counselor a long time ago tell us that blessings flow down. Mm. And that was pretty meaningful to me, because it keeps you in the servant mentality with your children, that they're not here to like make you happy, and not that we're here just to make them happy, but like we're here to like take what we know and facilitate their growth, and that love that we can show to them is the love that they can then show to other people. And we can't expect that water to flow back upstream and get our worth from them or get our love and, you know, from them. That, and so it keeps me focused on, hey, I'm here for them. They're not here for
trying to meet all my emotional
needs. That's so good. Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of wise people in my life, and I've read all of y'all's books and would highly recommend them. Sweet. I love this quote by Maya Angelou. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And I like thinking about that with parenting. I can get hooked into a lot of things to teach my kids sometimes, and I would like to be the people, Luke and I say, like, if not us, if we don't delight in them and make them feel really, really loved, that feels like one of our first jobs is just to make them feel like who they are is great and very lovely. And so I like that one.
To literally like be excited when they enter the room.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, just
when I walk in after work, that it's not about getting my backpack to where it's supposed to go. It's about seeing them and going, oh, I missed you. You know, like my day is less good when you're not around, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we trying to make them feel like how we feel about them. Yeah. You know, we do feel that way. Just stuff can get in the way. The responsibility can get in the way. So that was one. And then the other one is, I think that you guys had Kelly Corrigan on your podcast.
Yes.
And in one of her books, she wrote the phrase, I get to be here for this. And she had lost a friend to cancer. And I have lost a few friends along the way who would love to be looking for their kids' socks on a Monday morning. And it helps me be present. And Luke jokes that I can get morbid very quickly. And I can, you know, but it helps me to be present, to be grateful for. So I think it 20 times a day. I think I get to be here for Ivy Spreckles. And I get to be here for looking for Annabelle's folder and, you know, just the sweet. So those help me.
Mm.
Kind of a mantra of presence.
Mm. Oh, makes me think, I'm so excited to know your girls when they're older.
Me too.
Just what you are speaking into them and the way you're interacting with them and how that defines so much of who they are. I really so excited to know them, to have the two of you as parents.
I'm glad we're going to know y'all too.
Yeah. Well, okay. Mom, Dad, we all speak to some of that of girls. I just would love to know what encouragement you would want to give to dads of girls and what encouragement you'd give to moms of girls.
Mm.
Yeah. So I had two brothers. And so I did not grow up around a lot of women. Shout out to my mom who had to put up with all that. But I like part of it is just embracing having girls and just going, I'm going to be into what they're into. Yes. And I'm going to learn about what it is that they care about.
Which means what are you learning about right now?
Well, I've learned it's very important to figure out which version of the Nike Tiempo shorts the girls are wearing at any given time. Like that is kind of the main way to stay. No.
And bracelets and
yeah, bracelets,
and
earrings.
Yeah, you're a Swiftie.
Tell me about those earrings. Yeah. What's that feel like in your ear? Yeah, with so much earrings. But just to be interested in the things that might be a difference between boys and girls. And then on the flip side, like not totally giving up maybe what I would have pictured doing more with a son, which is like, you know, watching sports or throw, like they can do those things. They want to do those things. They want to know and care more about me. So I've noticed that when they're supposed to be in bed, that's when they get the most interested in sports because they think they can grab an extra 30 minutes maybe on the couch and I'll scratch their head or something. And I will. I will do that.
I bet.
So
one of them walked in the other day. I can't remember. And he loves athletic jerseys and paying attention to. And one of them said, oh, are those throwback jerseys? And I laughed because I was like, Luke has been teaching them about jerseys. I didn't even know. But it was cute to watch just the things he cares about come out in them. Sweet.
I do think that's so. I love the distinction of, I mean, I remember we heard somebody speak one time who said, if you don't know the names of your daughter's four best friends, you don't really know your daughter, which I thought was really great. But at the same time, I mean, Kathleen and my favorite activity to do with our dad is to go fishing. Now, we try and get him to take us to the fishing in the ocean, so it's a little nicer than normal fishing. But, I mean, to the same degree, I learned to drive a boat with him and, you know, so many things like that that I think really instilled more confidence in me in a lot of ways. So I love that you're thinking about both. That's really cool.
Most moms that I know are trying really hard right now. I just think they carry a lot of a mental load and a physical load. And so I would just hug them first and say, you're doing great. And I see your big love. Just could cry thinking about a lot of my friends and what good moms they are. And it is really motivating to me to think that I am showing our girls how to rest and how to talk about my body and how to, it is a really great catalyst for doing my own healing work, to just think they're watching me and what I say about my body. Or if I sometimes go, that's enough for the day, I'm going to watch a fun movie or, you know, and just let it be enough, that those things feel important. And sometimes in a perfect world, I would do them just for myself. But sometimes it helps me to think about them watching me and think, I want them to feel like they can rest when they're 30 and that they can do enough. Because I think they're both, I just think they'll be great in, you know, in trying and doing things. So
come
I just,
naturally.
Yeah, I see that in them, some eagerness. So I hope, I would say to women, you're, you know, in a good way, your kids are watching and let it be a good motivator that you get to also go to counseling and you get to also have a fun dinner with your friends. And
beautiful reminder. Oh. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking for all the people who are listening, I bet they're all like, oh, of course, David and Sissy are friends with them. Like, we totally get it. Just y'all are just so great.
We're very
love
lucky to call y'all
as
friends.
Oh, no, we're lucky.
Well, and I'm going to walk that a step farther down the road and say we have had this really beautiful full circle experience in that my oldest has been a babysitter for your two delightful daughters, and Heather, having known you for so many years when we were friends and colleagues, I remember when Lily had her first opportunity to, you all invited her to come babysit, and I overheard my wife, I'm going to try not to cry when I say this, I overheard my wife say, I hope you will say yes as often as you can when the Fleeners call, because we were talking about the Enneagram a little bit earlier, and you and my daughter share a number. And my wife said, because you will get a beautiful opportunity to see what it looks like for an adult woman to live in that number in a really healthy way. And thinking how incredibly true I felt like that was. And that you will get a really neat front row seat to watch their marriage and their parenting in a way that I think will really inspire you in your own life down the road. And so that was such a gift. I even remember my wife and I laughing and her saying, like, I would pay them to have her come to their house, like, rather than that reverse equation. And how thankful. I mean, I just want to say thank you to both of you and how grateful I am that she had all those years. And we laughed before we hit record today that I texted her this morning. She lives in another city now, is getting her master's, and said, guess who I'm spending time with this afternoon? And she texted back, like, don't make me this jealous. She just loves the two of you.
An incredible babysitter. Showed up with her own materials.
Her bag of books. Yeah. She was just, oh man, she is such a light. I love that girl.
Loves your family.
That is a gift that I didn't even know to need. You know, it was just a kind, loving, present babysitter, and she was such a gift. Well, I would pay her a lot of money to move back here.
No.
And if you're a babysitter out there and you have a parent who would pay you to babysit for us, by all means,
we'll take you up on that.
Oh,
you too.
We love you, Lily.
We like to end with something fun and food related. So we got a two-part question for you. First part is queso or guac?
Queso.
Queso.
Look at that. You need
that
to think.
That was fast.
Guac's doing a lot of good stuff in the world. But, I mean, queso?
Yeah, queso is king.
Yeah.
Just delicious.
Yeah.
I like guac fine. But
yeah.
Would just bump somebody out of the way to get some good queso.
Yes. And what's your favorite taco?
I've become a breakfast taco man.
Ooh.
I really like the Ladybird tacos here in town.
Yes.
The bacon and the eggs and the.
Ooh.
But I haven't met a lot of tacos that I'm not into.
They have a feelings chart that's made of tacos. Have you seen it? So cute.
It's in your bag.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, great. I hope Doritos Locos Tacos is on there. It's another one of my favorite tacos.
Superica, is that how you say it? Or Superica?
Superica.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their steak taco comes with this sizzling garlic butter and.
Had it last night.
You did not.
Yes, yep. I did.
Really good.
Did you like it?
I love it.
Is it in your top five?
It might have been the 100th time I've had it. I love it so much.
I love it too. It's delicious.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, it's next level.
Yeah, that's my favorite taco.
Fry. Shout out to Ford Fry.
Mm-hmm. How do y'all say that restaurant's name?
Superica.
Yeah, okay. Good. I will too from now on.
Can we go to Superica with the two of you sometime?
100%. Yes.
And Connie and Lily.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Yay.
Y'all, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for all you do.
Grateful for you too.
I'm very blessed by your work.
Well, mm-hmm. We're very blessed
and
to get to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you love today's episode? If so, would you mind sharing it with a friend? Send a quick text or email with the link to the show.
Join us next time for another episode where we'll bring you help and hope on your journey of raising boys and girls.